Welcome back to the Steelers Depot post-practice training camp report. Today is Monday. The Steelers are winding down training camp in Latrobe. Only a few days left there. They're going to be taking on the Eagles Thursday night at Heinz Field. I'm pleased to be joined once again by Scott Brown from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. This is his second time calling in for us, and we sure do appreciate it. Scott, thanks for joining me again tonight.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Let's get right to it. I guess that what's on everybody's mind that happened today is it seems like undrafted free agent running back John Clay walked off the field and then had to be, you know, tracked down and I guess coaxed to come back. Do you have anything new on that, or is there anything to report thus far?
I don't, Dave, and I hesitate to speculate a whole lot on it. The reason being, I don't want in this case to for looks to possibly be deceiving here. And the only thing I know is that he did walk off the field, and one of the trainers, actually one of the interns that's working with the you know, the trainers, talked to him. And you know, I don't know what happened. And again, I wasn't in the scrum for Mike Tomlin afterwards. I was actually trying to track down Tony Hills to do the story on him, and I don't know if he wasn't asked about it or if he didn't address it, but the only thing I can say is it was definitely it was out of the ordinary. But
go ahead.
If there's a medical personnel, it could have been something where maybe he was hurt and was going to leaving to go to the training room, and the guy said, "Hey, wait till practice is over." So I don't know. I mean, it didn't look. Like I said, it looked out very out of the ordinary. So
yeah,
it would lead you to believe that maybe something, I don't know, maybe something was on his mind.
Yeah, he, I don't know, maybe he got hit on the head too hard or what. Maybe he was walking off. And this will flush itself out probably over the next day. I think Mark Cabali said he was going to try to get to the bottom of it tomorrow as well. And I'm with you. I don't want to speculate. It's not something really that you want to hear about. Maybe he just had to go to the bathroom or something and didn't know the protocol to do that, you know. It definitely, you know, it blew up on Twitter already, so you know how that goes.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about, you said you talked to Tony Hills. I guess the big buzz right now is it seems to be a four-horse race maybe for this right guard spot. I talked to Mark Cabali yesterday a little bit about it. It seems like you might have a little bit more info. He's definitely going to start, it sounds like, against the Eagles Thursday night. What did Tony Hills have to say today?
I'll tell you what, Dave, I was impressed. He's not lacking for confidence. And he part of the reason for that is he said he came into camp in by far the best shape he has been. Said he actually added about 15 pounds while dropping his body fat percentage. And said he just really went after it this offseason. I don't have the trainer's name off the top of my head, but it sounded like he really worked Tony Hills hard. So he feels good about himself physically. Said he, you know, guard, not a whole lot of difference from playing tackle. Actually, probably a little bit easier on pass protection because you don't have to pay, you don't have to block in space as much. And said, you know, in preparation for playing guard, has worked on just sort of getting lower, you know, getting that pad level lower, getting that leverage. So he said he actually did work a lot on getting lower during the off season. So I'm wondering if at some point. Obviously, it would have had to be, before the lockout. He was told that they were going to take a look at him at guard because he said he has specifically been working on just trying to get lower, something that he'll need to do and if he wants to win that starting right guard position. But, yeah, very confident. And again, I think a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that he just came in here in fantastic shape.
I broke down the film several times already on the offensive line. He did look good at left tackle and right guard. Now, albeit, you know, he wasn't in the first group in there, so we'll see more right guard this week. Really, there hadn't been too much about him during this whole training camp. Had he stuck out at all to you, you know, during these first few weeks, or is he just starting to blow up now?
You know, he's sort of quietly come on, Dave, and he's been, I would say, just solid and steady from the start, and maybe this is more telling of us than him. It's just, you know, I guess us as reporters, we've come to expect so little from Tony Hills. Just, you know, from his first training camp, he was the guy that just really, really struggled with the lineman on lineman drills. Just got, you know, basically was used as a turnstile by some of the, you know, the James Harrisons and players of that ilk. So he just sort of he just gets lost in the shuffle, and you know, it's almost like one day, I don't know if we were talking or someone just said, hey, you know, maybe it was during practice. You know, we're kind of clustered together, and he did something good. And someone said, you know, he's having a pretty good camp. And everyone just sort of nodded their head. Cause, like you said, he's just sort of operated under the radar here. But obviously the coaches like what they see. And, Dave, what I'm trying to figure out is, do they like the competition they have at right guard, and that's why it's wide open? Or is it wide open because they don't really have a viable candidate there, and they're desperately hoping someone steps up and takes that job?
Yeah, I'm almost wondering if this is just a move to light a fire up underneath maybe Ramon Foster or Doug Ligursky. I think we can kind of rule out Keith Williams being considered for that right guard spot at this point. You know, what got me today, I was talking to David Todd on the podcast earlier today, and let's say for some reason Tony Hills does make this roster. You can't keep everybody, and I had penciled in Chris Scott at making the roster, Ramon Foster, and Keith Williams. You know, which one would be out if Hills makes it? Is Chris Scott the guy that they would maybe look to try to sneak down to the practice squad once again?
Dave, how many do you have making it? 9?
I believe so. That sounds about right. Let me pull it up here. Let me go through them real quick. We know Pouncey, of course, going to make it. We know Willie Colon's going to make it. We know Ligursky's going to make it. He has to make it. Then you get into Foster. We know Gilbert's going to make it. He has to make it. And I didn't have Hills making it. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I had 9, I think, making this roster.
Okay. Well, here's my thinking, and I agree with you. I think, you know, it very well could be 9. But here's a scenario where you could get 10. I think they're going to have a roster spot to play with an offense. Because if you remember last year, they kept 6 wide receivers. I don't see any need to do that this year, and I don't see anyone really who you're going to say, like, wow, we got to keep this guy as a 6 receiver. Otherwise, you know, if we try and sneak him on the practice squad, we're going to lose him, or, you know, if we cut him, he's going to go elsewhere and be a player. I think these 5 you have, I mean, they're going to have a hard enough time getting all those guys enough playing time, enough passes. So I think if you want and you say, look, you know, a guy like Keith Williams, we don't want to risk trying to sneak him on the practice squad, but, you know, he's not in our top 9. I think maybe you do that there. So that is one thing I would look for is I would not rule out them keeping 10 offensive linemen this year. And, again, a lot of that has to do with, you know, the wide receiver and no need for 5 there. So I think you have a roster spot to play with, and they very well could use that, you know, maybe just a special teams player. But I don't see that guy in camp. You say, wow, we need to keep this guy strictly to play special teams, but we have to have him. I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, and the Arnaz battle, 3 drops the other night, you know, although he's not expected to do much on offense anyways, that combined, you know, with the numbers game. In fact, we talked about that today that, you know, I'm with you that I see him only possibly keeping 5 wide receivers this go around, but I kind of theorize that they might, with that roster spot, be more apt to keep a Wesley Saunders as a 4th tight end going forward instead of trying to sneak him to the practice squad. But you hit on a good point. I think if they don't keep a 6 wide receiver, I think that spot's going to go to either a 10th offensive lineman or a tight end.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Yeah, Wes Saunders, that's a great point about Wes Saunders. What do you do about him if assuming he's not one of your top 3 tight ends? And obviously, if you try and sneak him on the practice squad, someone can grab him. So yeah, I just think again, Dave, with and I think we're sort of on the same wavelength here. Is there's a real possibility there's going to be a roster spot to play with on offense, because you're not going to need that six wide receiver, whether you on an extra lineman, on a a tight end. I think that's where they do it. I don't think they're going to carry five running backs. They're not going to carry. I'd be stunned if they carried more than three quarterbacks. I think it's somewhere along your line there, be it one of your tackles or guards or a tight end.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's good that you pointed that out today as well, because I think it'll definitely come from one of those two spots there. Was Chris Kimoato, we know he's off the PUP and kind of was working individual yesterday. Was he getting more physical out there today, or is he still kind of being limited?
Yeah, he did a little bit more today, Dave. And he was in there at left guard for 11 on 11. Was still limited in that capacity, but he definitely did more today than he did on Sunday. Whether he did enough to convince Mike Tomlin that he can play against the Eagles, I would doubt it. I'm just going with Tomlin's reason on why he didn't play Polamalu or James Harrison against the Redskins. Basically, said they hadn't practiced enough for him to be comfortable. I can't imagine he'd be comfortable sending Chris Kimoato out there with his limited he's been as far as practicing. But it looks like it's positive. He's moving forward, and that's another thing they're going to watch with this right guard race. Dave, is once Chris Kay's in there getting most of the snaps, then I think you got to look. You take a serious look at Legerski there, and it looks like they're doing that already. But right now, I'm guessing at least for the Eagles game, he's going to have to start a left guard, and have Tony Hill's at right guard.
Yeah, and then I guess Ramon Foster will probably be the next man in at probably left guard after that, but that'll be something to definitely be paying attention to, and I'm with you. I think probably there's no sense in playing Chemo yet. Maybe in a third preseason game he'll be back ready. Brett Kiesel and Aaron Smith, evidently, they sit out again today. Does it look like they might sit against the Eagles?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. They were out. And but it doesn't look like either one's really hampered. I think Brett has the ankle or foot, and Aaron has some knee swelling. But they were moving around on the sidelines and joking, and I don't think it's anything serious. So, I would think they will play Thursday night, but I guess we'll see. Mike Tomlin will address that tomorrow. I don't think it's anything, even if they don't play, I don't think it's really cause for concern. Let's face it, those guys don't need these reps up here now. And in fact, in some ways it's a little bit of a silver lining in that you get, Cameron Hayward, more work and Ziggy Hula too. So, I don't think there's any cause for concern with those two guys, even if they don't play Thursday against the Eagles.
What about Bryant McFadden and Kresden? I think I read where Kresden's was down today. Does Bryant look like he's about ready to contribute this week?
Yeah, I didn't realize this either. He said this is really the first serious hamstring injury he's dealt with in his career. And he said it wasn't a tear. It sounded like it might have been some sort of a partial tear there. So he's been obviously they're gonna be cautious with him. But it looked like he practiced today. I'm not sure he was out there the entire time, but he wants to play, and I think they'll at least let him test it out Thursday. So I would expect to see McFadden. Who was the other one?
Kresden Butler with a quad.
Yeah, he's still on the sidelines. So I don't know what's going on there. I will say this: I thought Ike Taylor had a great quote. I don't think he was directing this at anybody, but when he was asked about why we practice the day before he's having surgery, and he invoked Dick LeBeau saying, "Look, this guy played without a face mask and had, where you broke your nose and got teeth knocked out," and he said, you got to be able to play in pain. And again, I don't think he was directing that at any young quarterbacks, but I thought it was a very telling quote. That here's this guy out there in a telling scene. Here's this guy out there in a cast, and no one would have said boo had he said, I'm having surgery tomorrow. In fact, I'm sure it was probably his idea to have to go to the coaches and convince him to let him practice. And he's out there, and then you have some of these young guys that are just still standing around watching. And those young guys, they need one of those guys to emerge.
Yeah, hopefully we can see Curtis Brown hit the field this week. It doesn't seem like Cortez Allen is, but yeah, we really need to get these guys back on the field, at least by the third preseason game. And it was good to hear, you know, Ike stays in such great physical condition working out with Tom Shaw down there. I'm not worried. I'm not worried one bit, and I think the jokes around there, you know, he doesn't need that thumb anyway to work with. So, you know, just let him rest and do his thing. He looked great in the field. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm trying to track this down, too, because at some point I'd like to do a story. As you said, just his great physical condition. I heard someone was telling me a story about him, and this was during the period when he had signed but wasn't allowed to practice because of that crazy rule regarding free agents in the CBA, and he said he would be on a treadmill and he'd crank it up the whole way. And I can't imagine that. I run on a treadmill sometimes, and I mean I know how fast he can get those things. He said he would crank it up, jump on it, and run like as fast. He would run on that for like 2 minutes where it turned up the full way. I thought, you know, I could see 20-30 seconds, like 2-3 minutes, and to me that was just like wow. That shows what kind of shape he's going to be able to do that.
Yeah, and they showed some video from that, from you know, being down there in South Florida, and they had one, and I'm not one to be awed by shapes of athletes because that's what they're supposed to do, but there was a shot with him with his shirt off, man. That dude looks cut up, and he just looks
not
like
enough fat on that.
Yeah, physical condition. And he looked good in his first few plays against the Redskins, too, coming up and making a tackle on the play on Tim Hightower that supposedly was the play that he broke the thumb on and even stayed in after that, so I'm not too worried about that. The guy I think everybody is about giving up now is Lima Swede. Has he run out of shoulders to injure now? I think he only has two of those.
Is that what happened today? Because, again, I missed the Tomlin scrum.
Yeah, I think they're saying that it's the left shoulder now that had a wrap on it. And I think previously it was the right shoulder. I don't want to – that's kind of unconfirmed. That's what I'm hearing. It might be the same shoulder and somebody just looking at him from behind. But evidently he missed, and there's no way this guy makes the roster now, absolutely none, especially if they go with the five wide receivers like me and you were starting to theorize. But who else kind of – let's go to the practice portion a little bit today. Who kind of stuck out to you today?
You know, Cameron Hayward again, you know, he got a little scrap. Obviously, this guy's not going to back down. And as nice a guy as he is off the field, he's got a national streak on it, which, and I think not backing down having a national streak, that's pretty much prerequisites if you're going to play defensive end. And he just you know, he's a powerful guy. And he, I think maybe he handled in the lineman, he got the better of Foster, just like maybe a 1-2 out of three. And I'm trying to think and I got down there a little bit late, so I didn't see some of the early stuff. But, you know, I can't say anyone jumped out. I thought Ben looked pretty sharp. Hines made a great catch. It was kind of like an old over the shoulder, went over his wrong shoulder. Maybe he's outside when he was looking in. He adjusted and made it, and he had a couple guys that had pretty good coverage on him. So, I mean, that's a positive there, seeing him out there making plays. I mean, Antonio Brown, again, maybe one thing that stuck out to me more in practice is something Ben said afterward. And he said, hey, this guy, he thinks he could have a really special season for the Steelers this year. And I'll tell you what, to this point, it's hard to argue against that, even though, you know, it might be tougher for him to get on the field based on just the sheer numbers. They have a wide receiver and the people in front of him, but this guy's having a heck of a camp, and it just seems like every day he's out there making plays. So that's probably what stands out to me the most.
Is Jericho Cotchery looking like he's starting to fit in his second practice now?
Yeah, and I think it's too early to judge him, and I think he'll be fine. You know, he's a veteran guy, and again, what impressed me more yesterday was he didn't look overwhelmed or have that deer in the headlight look or have any have frustration etched all over his face. He struck me as just being a seasoned guy, and knows, you know, this is going to come. It's going to take some time, but he'll get it. And Hines Ward said something interesting today, and he said that, you know, Kosher will, quote unquote, win the Steelers a game this year. So it's pretty high praise coming from Hines Ward.
I agree, and you know the best thing about all this is you don't have to rush Emmanuel Sanders on now. I was worried about Antonio after, you know, at the end of last season, because he seemed not as about his ability to run routes or to catch the ball, just his recognition, the little things that go along with being a wide receiver that they usually make. If they're going to make the jump, it's going to be between, you know, the first and second year, and with him missing OTAs and mini camps because of the lockout, I was worried about that. But boy, let me tell you, it looks like this guy could pass Emmanuel. I mean, and Emmanuel had a great rookie season, don't get me wrong, and he was doing the little things. But, boy, what a great problem to have if Emmanuel Sanders ends up being your fifth wide receiver.
Unbelievable. And the good thing, too, is with Ian Brown is, you know, they're very extremely close off the field, but they're pretty competitive on it, too. So I think that will, in the long run, only make Emmanuel Sanders better if Antonio Brown comes out and has a great start. I think that only pushed Emmanuel Sanders, and I just, as you said, I see only healthy things coming out of that relationship of these guys being very close friends off the field, but just really pushing each other on it. And we know they're ambitious. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, when he arrived at camp, trotted out that number 62.5. Someone said, "What's that? That's all I need to average to get to 1,000 yards receiving." Second-year guy coming in and saying that, and it showed that he's pretty confident in his abilities and again, very ambitious. So I think it's only a good thing, and you know, it can only help the Steelers in the long run.
I agree. And that, like I said, that's a great problem to have. I think the Kotchery move is great insurance too, in case something was to happen to Hines Ward. And like you said, and I wouldn't be surprised if Jericho Kotchery did win him a game this year. Anything else really earth shattering, you know, to report from? I know you're not too excited about training camp winding down. I know you'd like to stay out there another 2 weeks or so.
You know what? I think the ants in my room are going to miss me. we've had a very peaceful coexistence.
Good deal. Hey, Scott, man, I certainly do appreciate it. And all of my followers on Twitter, I'm getting a lot of comments and all. They really appreciate you taking the time. And, you know, come sometime during the season or preseason here, we'll check in a couple times. But I want to let you know how much, once again, we appreciate you taking the time to do what you do on Twitter. You do a great job at the paper as well, and it means a lot to Steeler Nation.
No, I appreciate it. Dave, I could ask, do you ever leave your computer?
Not much. If so, I've got a smartphone or whatnot I take with me and all. So I don't know what would happen if I you know, could not have access, because I'm enthralled with this. My wife accepts it. You know, it's what I do full time now, and I'm, you know, I love doing what I do.
Well, again, like I said, I can only pay you the highest compliments, man, if you were all over it. And and again, I'm sure all your followers and listeners at Steelers Depot appreciate it. So, like I said, I'm still convinced you don't sleep, but maybe you have a beep that buzzes a beep and it wakes you up and you retweet something or write something.
Well, a lot of the things, some of the feeds like come in from the paper and all like that, those stories are set to post automatically. So every time you post something at the paper, you know, it automatically goes straight to into my Twitter feed and all like that, which is good for you guys too, because it's instant, you know, it drives traffic to the paper sites as well. So, and I know the paper does it as well too. They probably have theirs set automatically, but you know, some of the other stuff, you know, just getting, you know, the dialogue on Twitter back and forth and anything else that I find, you know, I post up as well. But I love doing what I do, and man, I'm enthralled with the coverage of training camp by all you guys this year, and it's almost like being there, and it certainly sticks out, and I certainly do appreciate it.
Dave, thanks for having me, and we'll chat soon.